Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast for continued coverage of The Challenge, Ride or Dies. Episode 2 is in the books, and we are here to talk through it all. Of course, I am one of your hosts, Matt Liguori, alongside my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how's it going?
Hello. I'm good. I am interested to talk about this episode. Definitely eventful. Not my favorite, but we'll get there.
We will get there. There was a lot going on, and we're still setting up the season and kind of like, you know, the past couple seasons has been all like rookies versus vets, rookies losing to the vets. And this season is starting off with the same kind of flow of like, okay, the rookies on one side, the vets on the other, with maybe a bridge in the middle with the Devin and Michelle of it all. Jay and Michelle of it all. And now we're at this point where the vets are starting to, you know, make their way in and obviously come into power. So it's an interesting start. I enjoyed the episode. It felt like a very glowing highlight of at least Nani in particular. You can also say Bananas and Nani, and of course the downfall of another player, which I am just now remembering that you and I have an intense conversation to get into. Turbo here. So yeah, there is a lot to get to.
There's definitely a lot to get to. Yeah, I feel like it's hard because I feel like not everything is on the episode, but maybe I don't know. We'll figure it out. I feel like there's plenty to be discussed.
Plus, this is a later recording for us in the week. We usually do it the day after the episode, but we're a couple days after here at this point with some scheduling whatevers. So it was a little fresher in my mind. I mean, obviously rewatched. We both just finished rewatching, but I feel like emotions were running high, at least for me, with some of the stuff going on here after it initially aired. Just to clear up some old business, I guess, somebody had tweeted us to check out Tommy Bracco's podcast, which I'm trying to remember all the details of what he had talked about there. Basically, he was definitely giving like the more in-depth lowdown of what went on with the quarantine, that they Anissa had tested positive. So that was something that I think I got wrong. He said that James, Anissa, Casey, and Kenny had all tested positive, but I think that somebody else, I think it was Nerisse, I think is what he said. Maybe I shouldn't be saying I think when it's like he did lay it all out there, so you can go check it out. But I listened to the podcast like 4 days ago at this point. Had also tested positive, and you know, this is what kind of put them back into that quarantine. What he was talking about, one of the bigger things there was that in that quarantine they all were in the rooms and they did not get their phones back at first. And then Tommy says that the veterans were all like, you cannot lock us back up in these rooms for another 5 days with no communication, with nothing. And they, you know, vetted their way into getting their phones back, which is what they then used to look up everybody on the cast and find out that, yes, Colleen was cheating. Lying about what she did. I don't know if this is relevant to anything, but apparently Kim had lied to everybody saying that he was straight, which is not the case. And they found that out or whatever. There was just a whole lot of Googling going on, obviously communicating with whoever back home to tell them what was going on and talk to them, because the vets were like, we need our phones. It's not good for our mental health to be in here by ourselves and not have any communication for another, you know, 5 day quarantine. So that's what happened there. If I remember more, I'll keep playing it out, but you didn't listen to it. So what's your reaction to some of that?
That's interesting, because I just watched a like the importance of LGBTQ representation on The Challenge, and I don't think Kim's in there. So interesting if that's apparently the case, that Kim's not straight. But otherwise, I don't know. Nothing's that surprising. Like, the vets threw their weight around and got their way over production. I'm shocked. Mm-hmm. Like, not super surprising, especially after having seen that some people came back this week, to hear that like some people who ultimately did end up on The Challenge tested positive. Also not super surprising.
Mm-hmm. As we were talking through the last time when we saw, or last episode, we saw that Casey and Kenny were gone. Didn't really know how to approach all of that, because it didn't, at least in my orbit, it wasn't a well-kept secret that the two of them were going to be right back. So I had known that. I didn't really know, like I said, I didn't know if everybody knew. I didn't know how fast it was going to be that they would bounce back into the game. You didn't know, but you did when we talked through it all.
After we found out.
Yeah. So Obviously they are back here. It was, you know, a positive test. If they were positive, if Nerys was positive, Anissa is positive and she'll be back. They tested negative before re-entering the game is what they say. And they're all back. So, or there are two of them are back and Anissa's on her way back in some weird fashion as we see her partner, entering the game. We'll get to that later. So that's the COVID of it all. Hopefully we don't have to deal with anything else like that, but let's just touch on this now. Because with all the shifting and changing and who's coming in and who's going and who's leaving and whatever, one of our, replacement couples from last week was, Nam and Emmy. And we saw them for about 3 seconds at the beginning of this episode, getting back to the house. And then when we get to the challenge this week, Nam and Emmy are gone because Emmy decided she didn't want to stay.
I feel so bad for Nam. Like, this is brutal. 3 seasons in a row, he gets taken out just for reasons out of his control. We know that they had, like, some people on standby, like Josh was there in case he needed to be an alternate. So, like, did they have no female alternates that they could have just paired with Nam? Or was Josh only there to be certain people's ride or dies? Like, if Kenny couldn't do it or if Bananas wasn't going to be there, he would sub in for Casey or Nani. But any of the other women, like, tough luck, get out of here. I don't know. So I think that that's unfortunate. I think that if that's the case, that Josh was only going to be for certain people and like special treatment, yada yada. Not surprised, but frustrating that they were just like, oops, too bad, Nam, 3 times in a row. Like, you're screwed. Bye. So unfortunate. I hope he gets a chance, but I kind of doubt it.
So is Nam more? I mean, I know that the answer is probably Nam here. Is Nam more screwed than James, who was Anissa's partner and just pretty much plucked away from the game despite everybody else who tested positive going back in?
Yeah, I would, like, the thing is that, sure, James was screwed, but Nam's been screwed 3 times, that many times.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, and you know, I am just trying to consider, I guess, both sides here, because, you know, so Emmy went on to Twitter, or maybe this was Instagram, and it ended up on Twitter, and was going on for about 2+ minutes talking about what happened, and basically said that, she was approached by, you know, whoever cast her to be on the show, you know, kind of hyping her up, being like, you're the biggest star in Germany. Is she? I think she's from Germany. You're one of the biggest.
This is at least self-proclaimed. I have no way to verify how big of a reality star is. But yes, she is the queen of reality TV of Germany, according to herself.
So she says. And so apparently the casting director says. So she's all hyped up about, you know, we want you on the show. We're going to have you on the show. This is going to be great. She gets there, finds out she's an alternate. She's like, are you kidding me? But I guess stayed calm and remained, you know, in quarantine. Eventually goes into the game as a replacement when, you know, the other situation was happening. Gets into the game, plays the one challenge. And the story that she was telling is that, you know, when they went back to the house and entered the game, that Nam was basically just not being a good partner, not being a good friend. She, like, I don't know what the relationship is between these two, you know, outside of the game. It sounds like they are friendly enough and, you know, she liked him enough. And I mean, they were going in as ride or dies. But she says that he was immediately clinging on to all of the friends that he made over the, you know, 6 previous days he's played on the challenge. And she was just kind of put by the wayside, not really paid attention too much from him, and nobody really knew who she was, so nobody was paying much attention to her there. And that, like, the one time that she tried to, like, jump into a conversation with him, that he told her to pretty much stop talking, and she's like, I'm not gonna stop talking. Like, she's like, I know I'm this big personality, I'm supposed to be here to be, like, exciting and make TV, and you're telling me to be quiet? Like, no. So she wasn't digging Nam's vibe. She wasn't digging the game itself after, you know, 24 hours being there, and decided, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm not necessarily taking Emmy's side here, and but I'm a little, there's a little bit of a red flag for me seeing that now two consecutive, or not consecutive, but two partners that Nam has had like all these complaints about him. Obviously the first being Lolo was very upset with the way that they communicated. I know that Lolo's not the best communicator, but you know, we're at a fresh start, new season here. And the fact that Emmy is attributing at least like 50% of the blame as to why she decided she wanted to leave on her partner not paying attention to her, like, that's not great.
Sure, but I don't know. I watched the video and I was just like, yeah, I still don't see it. like for her to be like, and then I was disrespected as the queen of reality TV. Like, okay, bye. Like, I don't need you. It's, you know, are you Snooki? That otherwise, like, I could replace any single person on the cast. I don't care. There's Snooki. Like people, like, I don't know who else is the queen of reality TV.
I mean, that's
like,
a good answer, but Snooki's not coming on the challenge.
Yeah, that's exactly my point.
Oh, okay.
Because like, then sure, if it's Snooki, like, make accommodations for her, like, whatever. But like, you're not Snooki. Goodbye. I don't care. So
I'm gonna get that on hat. Like...
And so, you know, it's she's not of that level, and like maybe she is in Germany, and that's fine. I don't know that to be whether it's the case or not, but if you're coming on a new show, and then like basically every person I'm sure is going and talking to other people, I'm sure that Nam was not as on top of her as she may have liked, but basically how it was framed was like, when we were in the hotel, we were talking a lot. It's like, well, I don't know how much he was allowed to talk to other people besides you, but I'm sure it was like, okay, this is your first season. Let's hype you up. Come on, let's go. And then it's like, okay, now I'm going to go do the work. She says basically that the way that I took her statement of like, he told me not to talk like this was that she was playing poorly. And he's like, shush. Like, maybe we don't pick a fight in the first couple days. And she's like, no, I'm going to do that if I want to. So I don't really like, I have a hard time criticizing Nam and saying like definitively he is a bad partner, or like it's his fault that Emmy left, when like this is, I'm going off of a 2-minute video that's completely biased towards her side. Like,
yeah, no, I certainly don't want to be like fully taking the anti-Nam stance here. I'm just considering other options after, again, two back-to-back partners are complaining about the guy. I don't know.
If I had heard anything from like basically any other person that had been on the show with him, then like maybe, but the opinions of Emmy and Lolo Jones are not two that I have really any esteem for. So I don't feel like super obligated to put any weight on those.
Sure. Fair enough. And we've already spent probably way more time than we needed to talking about Nam and Emmy. So they're gone. Yeah. Justice for Nam. If that's, you know, what you're into or looking for in the future of the challenge. Could he be back? Absolutely. If they're calling him back for a third time at this point, and it's still not working out, you know, why would they not keep trying for time number four and see what happens? I mean, there could literally be records broken of, like, you know, least time spent in a challenge with, you know, multiple appearances. So we'll see how that goes.
I feel like he's also a perfect alternate where he's going to say yes every time now at this point. Like, he's so desperate to get on the show. I think he's probably a good alternate. So.
Yeah. Well, so there's that. But let's swing back around to the top of the episode. We do, of course, end last episode on Banani making their triumphant return. And this one's going to kind of lead us into why they're here, why they're back. So what did you make of the Bananas and Nani, you know, kind of highlight here as they're starting off the episode returning?
So I'm going to go with show only stuff for now. Mm-hmm. I thought warranted, like, Bananas and Nani, two of the biggest names from the franchise ever, no doubt. I think like the perfect duo to bring in first, especially of the three available. Definitely like a good little tribute to them. I didn't think it took even too long. I thought it was like worth the hype. And I liked getting like everyone's opinions of them walking in the door.
Yeah. I mean, one of the main topics that we're going to get into regarding Nani, especially throughout this episode, is I'm almost positive we talked about it during last season, because Nani lost her mom, you know, unfortunately, during the filming, during the airing of last season. So I think we had been podcasting at the time. And, you know, this is now between seasons that all of this is going on. So, you know, when a traumatic kind of experience like this, you know, happens, you never know what the person that's affected here, Nani being that person, is going to do going forward. Like, is she in a okay space mentally to continue doing the shows, or does she need some time to herself? And, you know, that's a decision entirely up to her. And she wants to be here. She wants to compete with Casey, who she's still madly in love with. And not that Casey's here right now, but that's another story. So the decision was made. She's here and she wants to compete. And She gets, you know, a pretty good showing. We get the nice montage of the pictures with her and her mom, and the music playing in the background that really, you know, pulls in your heartstrings. It always makes me tear up seeing that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just very touching, you know, to hear the way that Nani talks about her mom and the necklace that she had to, you know, want, you know, she's talking about she wants to win or lose. She wants to, you know, live on her mom's legacy here. So, you know, just I'm always going to talk about that stuff because I am a four and I live in my emotions.
No, an absolutely unimaginable loss. I can't imagine being on the challenge like in my best state of mind, let alone at this time in her life. I think that I'll be giving Nani a lot more grace in basically any situation for this season. If there are to be any arguments like this episode that pop up. But basically, like, I cannot imagine what she's going through, especially in the challenge house so shortly after her mom has passed. And so definitely recognize how hard of a time she's going through, and that's mm-hmm. awful.
And I do think that, as she kind of says a couple times, that Bananas is like the perfect person to have by her side as like an emotional support system. I mean, Casey's not here right now. Casey will be there. But the two of them, just like the friendship, the connection that they have, TJ was hyping it up. And I mean, they just have been through all these seasons together, and at a point where you're coming back, you know, still all these years later, and you're, you know, the two of the most veteran people in the house. Banana's currently the most veteran because Darrell's not here, and Veronica and Anissa are not here yet. So, you know, there's a bond that they have that is just going to be for the rest of their lives. And, you know, Bananas, we talked a bit in the draft about his return here, but it's, you know, he's certainly not somebody that's going to come in kind of quietly. He is, you know, making his jokes all around the house from the second he gets there. He walks right up and, oh, hey, Turbo, glad to see you haven't killed anyone yet. Like, ooh, but that's that's what you get from Bananas. His reconciliation with Devin is highlighted a little bit. So, you know, the two of them are just kind of making their way back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, like you said, for Bananas, his return, I know it's only been a couple seasons, but it feels like it's been 4.5 years in challenge years, because seasons are ever present in our mm-hmm. lives. So definitely, like, trademark Bananas making a joke with Turbo, obviously not knowing that Devin had basically just made the joke, same joke 15 minutes earlier. So interesting to see that he hasn't changed at all.
Yeah. Did you expect, I mean, we also talked about this in the preview of the Turbo and Nani relationship, and that's going to be a main highlight in this episode as well, of course, as we see Bananas and Nani come into power and ultimately eliminate Turbo and his partner Tamara. From the beginning, we're setting up, you know, the dynamic that these two teams have with each other. Bananas asking Turbo if he's still mad at him, Turbo clearly wanting nothing to do with him. Bananas, you know, seems to have no, As there's going to be a lot here when we get to it all of me not being on Turbo's side. This part of it all, I will be on Turbo's side, because Bananas knows what he's doing. He's toying with him. He's joking around with him in a way that Turbo doesn't like and doesn't want to be toyed around with or whatever. And that's just not how Turbo, you know, whatever. And Johnny makes a comment. He's like, oh, glad to see you still have no sense of humor. I mean, sure, would it be great if we could all joke around with each other? But Turbo's not that kind of person. He doesn't want to deal with the jokes. And this is what I think I said this also in the preseason, of like, now that these guys know how to push his buttons, they were going to be pushing every single button 40 times in a row just to try. And he's not even doing it in a way of like, you know, back when Jordan was doing it a couple seasons ago, he was like, I know if I keep pushing him, he'll probably hit me and he'll probably go. Bananas is like, oh, it's funny, I haven't hit anybody yet. You're still in the house, but like, you know, let's make a joke about it. And it's not funny to Turbo.
Mm-hmm. Bananas is producing. I mean, it's what he's been doing since how many seasons ago on the challenge. He's always done this. He has done this mostly to women on the show, where he has just always looked to get a reaction out of people. He thinks it's funny if he can just push and push and push and push and make them explode. Unfortunately, with Turbo, he is super prideful. There's no doubt. And so, like, I'm not going to disagree with that. Apparently, there was also a moment where, like, in the airport on the way over, excuse the language, but Fessy said something along the lines of, like, oh, like, this motherfucker's here. And Turbo did not like that, because Turbo, like, doesn't think that that's a term that he would just casually throw around calling somebody, where Fessy did not mean it in any type of way. And so, where I think, obviously, Turbo probably reacted a little too fast instead of looking for clarification. But I think that there is a lot of people in this house who won't give any sort of grace if there is a miscommunication. And I think that happens a lot this episode.
Yes, 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 yes. So I guess we'll put a pin in that because there's, again, a lot more to come with all of it. But as we're still setting up what's happening in the episode and everything, we know how last week kind of played out with the Johnny and Raven win in the challenge. And they formed a little bit of a team with Jay and Michelle. And, you know, I think Amber and Chauncey and whoever else was involved with this as well. But a quiet episode for a lot of people. There were a lot of no confessional people in this episode.
Weird how I may have said, say goodbye to everyone on the show
you that did
we
say
liked
that.
Last week, because Bananas is here and will take up all of the airtime.
Now that you say that, I feel the need to like emphasize this point and go back to the challenge Reddit and see where the confessional count was, because there was
I'm looking for it already.
You have it?
No, I don't have it, but I'm looking for it.
MTV challenge confessionals.
It's so annoying because there are a lot of people who I feel like are good on this season and have proven to be pretty decent confessionalists in just the first episode that they've been given. And it was so obvious that that was going to be completely taken away from them the moment that these vets show up in the house. But we even have, like, it's so supported by, like, I listened to Johnny's podcast this week. It was insufferable. We'll get more there. But just like all of the vets, Johnny, Nani, all of them are like, I couldn't even watch the first two episodes. It was so boring without us. Like, shut the fuck up. I'm so annoyed. Like, you're not that entertaining. I'm sorry. You're not that much more entertaining than a lot of the rookies we have. It's not like, any different. It's just because you want your longevity on the show and you want your paycheck longer. So you're going to always talk crap about every new person that's on the show and how they're so much more boring. And it doesn't feel like the real challenge because you're not there. I don't care. I don't want you there for the most part.
And don't mind me being a temporary Bananas defender, but look at the last two seasons, they weren't good. So
I think that has a lot more to do with production than him.
Yeah. Well, as you just mentioned, Bananas kind of is production. He makes the show live in the house. So
yeah, but he's not coming up with the format of the games
I would say
both of the last two have been awful.
Yeah. Well, if he was there, they would have been rigging it for him in some way, shape, or form, as, you know, can happen.
Needed Bananas there to rig it for the vets in the last couple of seasons.
So, well, for him. So maybe the format would have been different because it would have been catering to him, and then maybe something would have happened along the way and it doesn't work out. I don't know. But yeah, point taken. So let's back to the confessionals. We had Amber, Annalise, Colleen, Emmy, Fessy, Kim, Mariah, and Tommy all without a confessional in this episode, and six more people that only had one, being Chauncey, Jack, Johnny, Kenny, Nam, and Raven. Nam getting one is even a feat in its own.
Surprising.
Yeah. I didn't even realize I said Emmy in there. Of course, Emmy would not have one. But yeah, besides the point, not a whole lot of airtime, you know, available when, 14 confessionals for Nani. I'm not going to come down on them for that because a lot of it, again, was about her personal life. And she is a perfectly deserving person in the challenge world to have a lot of airtime devoted to them in, you know, a situation like this. And of course, Bananas being high up there as well, with nine, only behind the two, Olivia and Horacio, who both had a very big episode here with the elimination and kind of showing off having a good showing in the challenge itself. So, yeah.
It's not that they can't get more occasionally and agree. This is Nani's episode completely. It's not Bananas. He is like, you know, second fiddle. It's Nani's episode. And so her having 14 doesn't surprise me. I'm not mad at it. But I just know now that next week is going to be Jordan and Tori having all the confessionals, with, you know, Anissa probably being second behind there. And then there will be Darrell and Veronica having all the, and it's just like, all right, I'm seeing a pattern. And it's not that like Bananas and Nani's confessional counts are going to go significantly down. They're going to stay around the same 9, 7, like consistently. So we're losing every person on the show as these other voices come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys heard what he just said, right? He said, keep the Veronica confessionals and give me Sis. Give me Annalise, everything she has to say.
You're the only one who has mentioned her name this entire podcast.
I heard you say it. So yeah, this alliance that's coming together of the rookies plus Jay and Michelle is kind of making their presence well known enough. I mean, there's not much hiding it here. Bananas and Nani know what's going on. They get the low, or Nani gets the lowdown from Laurel and Tori about kind of what's happening. So, you know, that's going to come into play later. And the only other thing that I really have to talk about before we get to the challenge itself is the Tori and Devin conversation, which I thought was very good for something being aired on the challenge, just continuing the topic of mental health, and Tori talking about the medication she's been on to kind of help her through, you know, the very dark place that she was brought to after her breakup with Jordan. And of course, we're going to see this come into play, as you just mentioned, starting next week and going forward to however, you know, long these two are in the game together. But this is, you know, she was going through a really tough time. I remember seeing some of her social media posts of just, you know, she did not seem to be in a good place. And I feel like this is the first time I heard her express it in the way of like, Jordan broke up with me. I don't really know what I thought happened. But this is the story she's telling, and Devin's being there for her as a friend. And I mean, this is more about Tori than it is Devin. And I did not have any issues with I don't know why I'd have an issue, but I like this segment from Tori.
This was my favorite segment of the episode. I thought super important, really glad to be highlighting mental health, to be destigmatizing antidepressants and any other medication that people may need in order to, you know, feel better if they're going through a tough time. And so I really appreciated Tori and Devin having this conversation, being frank, being super open. Definitely my favorite scene of the episode. I do know that we had a lot, especially on like the Nani and Bananas podcast, on even Tori and Anissa's podcast, they talked a lot about how like, oh yeah, so when Anissa was flying over with everyone, or like Nani's at the airport, she sees everyone, but she doesn't see Bananas, so she's confused. It's like, okay, so everyone knew Nani was coming back, and Nani's like, well, I knew Casey was coming back into the game at some point, but I wasn't sure when. So it's like, okay, so none of these are surprising things, like they all know. And so where my concern is, where Tori is saying basically like, I came into this game not knowing Jordan was going to be here, where he knew I was going to be here. So I am very happy that they showed this scene. I'm very happy that Tori is doing better. I am concerned if she truly didn't know that Jordan somehow did not know that Jordan was coming on, and then they knowingly put her in like a pretty tough position, knowing that she was feeling unstable up until now. So hopefully that is not the case and she did know. But yeah, I really like this scene.
And to bounce back on something you just said, I definitely took note of how Nani was not looking like as devastated as you would expect hearing that Casey was gone. So I was like, she knows something. She knows that Casey's not gone, which makes sense. Cause if you think about the fact that, you know, Nani is just getting back from her hotel room that she was in, she had just entered the game at that point. And all of the cast was in their hotel room. So Casey and Nani were definitely talking. And obviously Casey said, well, I have COVID, but I am not going home. They're not sending me home. They're keeping me here. So I'll probably be back. Unless she got like some kind of reassurance. So I did feel like Nani didn't have a look on her face like, oh, I'm leaving because, you know, the one person I came here to be with is not here. So, but that's besides the point. I don't know.
I mean, we even had her being like, so who went home? Went on the podcast. She's like, yeah, so I saw Kayla walking out of the elimination. And I was like, okay, so this is all like fake. You all like know exactly what's going on. I don't know if they were like, okay, so go in there and then ask them who went home. But whatever the case may be, like, she knows what the camera wants. So like, good for her, I guess.
Well, yeah. All right. So challenge time.
Challenge time.
It was called Balancing Act. Of course, we get the information about Emmy and Nam being gone. So we we already talked about that. But this challenge is your typical challenge with containers floating over the water. You have to climb up onto your container with the single ladder and jump onto the platform in the middle. You have to level it out with one partner on both sides. It had a rope in the middle. I'm just trying to describe it as best I can. If you didn't watch the episode, it had the rope in the middle of the platform, in the, you know, in that middle platform for you to grab onto and pull yourself up. And we're gonna see not a whole lot of teams be successful at this. Only four teams completed the challenge, and we'll talk about them. A lot of people DQing. We got a DQ montage in the middle of the challenge as Kim and Colleen, Tommy and Annalise, Fessy and Mariah, Johnny and Raven, Amber and Chauncey, Laurel and Jack, Jay and Michelle all were not able to complete it. Michelle with a very hard fall, and that was just the beginning of the emotional ride it was for Michelle Fitzgerald fans in this episode. But a couple teams did do well. And what'd you think of this one?
I was fine with this challenge. It didn't like look super impressive where it's just like jump off, swim 5 feet, climb up a ladder. Like it's hard, I'd have no doubt about that. But even when it goes well, it doesn't look like there's a lot of steps or that it's super impressive. So I think that how difficult it is does not translate well to TV. So that was unfortunate. But it's fine. It's a fine challenge. I think that something that was well flagged up on a couple of the podcasts actually is that I think it was a random pick in terms of how people went. And I think that Horacio going first was actually part of the reason that so many people DQ'd because he just like runs out there and jumps on. And because he's on an American Ninja Warrior type show, he is able to do those things. And a lot of the people who thought they were going to be able to do those things very much cannot. So they held the platform way too high for their partner. They ran and jumped onto the rope instead of trying to grab at it. Like they did not take the time to situate themselves properly. And I think that him going first ultimately resulted in more DQs than we even might have seen before that.
I think if Turbo had not been in the game, then Olivia and Horacio are certainly like a contender to go home first here or go home second, whatever here. Specifically because TJ had such a boner for him, like screaming how much he loved him and how great he was and how he's the real deal. Like this guy's already showing an impressive showing here. Everybody sees it. But TJ like turning around like this is like the new CT, coming around the corner, that he's ready to just hand him, Johnny Seven Rings right now. I was like, oh my God, like this guy is going to have a hard time getting through this deliberation, which he almost did. They were joking with him, when they call him into deliberation, they were like, well, if this is going to be how you perform, then you're going in. Which, yeah, he's showing the spark that I thought I saw in him preseason is there, and I'm very happy about that because he landed on my draft team, but these two are going to be contenders if not. Specifically for that guy.
Yeah, it's the skill set that I really thought we might get out of Nom, and not to say that he doesn't have it, I just don't think we've really gotten to see it on screen. So, just an American Ninja Warrior type show, I feel like, is the closest we're going to get to the skill sets that you're actually going to use in the majority of the challenges on the challenge. So, to see that actualized is encouraging.
We had some Nelson highlight in the challenge first with the producer again, calling him out for not having won a daily challenge. So, let's keep that going. I'm fine with it. And then also
See,
Nelson, go ahead.
I think it'll get kind of old if it happens every episode. I think we can check in every so often.
I
I
mean,
think as soon as we're on like the fourth episode of it, I'm a little bored.
I guess I think like at this point, if we're resigning to Nelson as kind of like a comedic relief character, rather than like an actual contender, which is kind of how I feel,
We've
then I'm
been
fine.
resigned.
Yeah, then I'm fine with the constant check-ins and the big reactions that we get out of him, and also him out of nowhere calling Devin Daddy Devin and then not really knowing what to do with the fact that that just came out of his mouth. I'm like, no, that came out very naturally. Like you call him Daddy Devin on a regular basis and just don't want us to know about it, which is fine. But
Right.
it was just very unexpected, and again, like it's very natural for him to have said. So
I was
that's the
like,
Nelson update.
is this me on a podcast trying to get a rise out of Kirsten? Because
Oh
it
boy.
seemed like his second nature, just like he was ready to say it. And yeah, even though, like, did I just say that? Like, you just said that.
When Nelson is the first person to like throw that kind of nickname out there, and not like there's so many other options. Like if we drafted, who would have had that nickname fly out of their mouth first? Nelson's so far down the list, but there it is. Tori and Devin, Daddy Devin, I guess. Do we continue with the
There you
nickname?
go. Respectful.
Respectfully, Daddy Devin and Tori do complete the challenge. They are the second team to do so after Olivia and Horatio, and they complete it, and they do okay, as well as Nani and Bananas completing it, and then the newly returning Casey and Kenny completed. So we had a segment for both Casey and Kenny and Bananas and Nani as they were competing, and did either one of them stand out to you?
I mean, I groaned as Casey and Kenny returned, to be honest. I don't know. I just don't need it. I feel like two of the most boring people in the house left, and we almost got rid of them, and then we decided to bring them back. I don't know. Again, we didn't have anybody that we could have paired up with Nam or like held on to him. If Nam had gotten COVID, would he have been able to re-enter at a later date, or was this like special treatment for Casey? It's just like, I would like consistency. I don't feel like we have it. And especially when that is someone that I don't dislike. Casey's fine, but I'm bored.
So now that we're talking about Casey and Kenny, a thought crossed my mind. What do we make of the fact that Casey's ride or die wasn't Josh? Because he's not on the cast. He was an alternate on the season. I mean, I didn't know that I was going to say his name at all during the season here because he's not here and I wasn't thinking about him. But today I'm thinking about him because I'm thinking about how they dropped Anissa's partner, who wasn't the most I almost just shaded him, not knowing a thing about him. But I was going to say Casey's partner is not the most exciting person. He says it himself. He's, you know, the shy guy behind Casey, who's popular all throughout his whole life, you know, high school, whatnot. So, like, if they were going to drop Anissa's partner, why not just drop Casey's brother and be like, hey, Josh is still here. Like, we know he's drama. We know he's, you know, a known person. Let's, you know, and they easily could have. I don't know. Just a thought.
It feels deliberate. I'm wondering if any of the, like, veteran weight of Casey and Nani was thrown around in terms of, like, this is who I want as my partner. Because I know many people had pitched different people, and I'm wondering, I could definitely see Josh being like, okay, so for my partner, I'm going to pitch my ride or die Casey, and he's like, yeah, I'm, no.
The champion from last season, we have a great friendship, and Casey's like, I don't know this man.
No, not ride or dies, thank you, though. So, because it does feel deliberate that he's not here when you could so easily slot him in to this position. So interesting. I feel like probably that tells me that Casey did not want it to be the case.
Probably. I also at first I was like, is there anything to do with the Ashley and Josh thing? Like, is there something here they didn't want him on? But he was there. He was an alternate. He just didn't make it onto the cast. I don't know.
Yeah, because he didn't even. And like, look, Josh allegedly has a big mouth off of the show as well as on. But at the same time, like, when the Ashley stuff went on, Josh like very much kept his mouth closed publicly. So it's not as if I think that they are upset with him over the event, because they really protected Ashley, and it's not as if he corrected that wrong and went ahead and like told his side of the story publicly, which I feel like should have been allowed, but obviously was not. So it's not that I think they're even upset with him over that. So I think that they probably just decided to give him a season off at the very least, which I don't know, as a maybe Josh fan now, well, I don't know if I'm disappointed, but I'll take him back next season.
Well, you can have him. I feel like
these other vets,
well, he'll be back, and I feel like the break will be very well received by me, somebody who's like, okay, a break was needed. Same thing with Kyle, same thing with anybody else that I'm forgetting about that's, you know, off at the moment. But the winners of this challenge, again, are going to be Benani. Benani is going to get a win on their first challenge back and remind everybody, you know, of their dominance, or that's kind of what Bananas was going for here. It was a triumphant moment for Nani getting this win. You know, she's coming into the season wanting to do this for her mom. And, you know, you see the determination in her from the second she makes that jump. You know, there's been plenty of Nanis in the past, and I mean Nani herself, Nanis, like, you know, plenty of different versions of Nani that doesn't make that jump or doesn't successfully, you know, or doesn't like want to do it out of fear or whatever. But this Nani was determined. She was going to jump off of that, you know, container, make that jump, get across, and win the challenge. And she did. So, you know, a really good, strong start for her, you know, especially, and them winning is huge for them because the rookies had been kind of coming together, and also they have this common, it's becoming a common enemy in the House of Turbo, who really does not want anything to do with specifically Bananas, but as we're going to see throughout this episode, also not interested in Nani, his partner, his former partner, Bananas' partner. So Tamara has a confessional immediately knowing that they're in trouble, but we'll see how this goes because maybe the former partners have a bridge between them that they can, you know, reconcile in some way, shape, or form. Spoiler alert, not going to happen, but yeah, so that's where we're at.
Good for Nani, but as I'm staring down the barrel of many more vets entering the game, including Casey and Kenny as a pair, I'm getting nervous. So I was not thrilled with the win from a TV and game standpoint, but good for Nani specifically.
Yeah, I mean, what, like, I guess my question is, what would be your ideal outcome here? Like, Bananas and Nani go home in this episode? Or
no,
like,
Take out like another, you know, tertiary veteran pair. Like
Pick
I want
pair.
the I would have to look at the pairs and
I was
Fessy.
gonna say.
I don't know.
Fair
Like that's fine. So I don't know. Like that would be fine. I'm not even look, I really we'll get there.
enough.
But I'm not as upset as you think I probably am about who ended up leaving this week.
Okay.
So like that's fine. I want the two sides of the house to continue at each other and for them not to just crumble in like week three and then it's just a complete I don't know, you want to say pogonging again, but like Casey could have gone, like, oh, Tori and Devin, they had a good scene, but I'm still not like sold on them as a season-long rooting interest necessarily. So I could lose a couple of other people. Give Nani and Bananas a couple week, but it's not like I'm rooting for them to win the season by any means.
All right, well, let's get into it. Let's get into the Nani and the turbo of it all, because we're going to see that the winning team, of course, has to pick four teams to go into deliberation. I'm kind of cutting ahead a little bit because we know that one of them is ultimately going to be Turbo and Tamara. We'll get into, the other three teams that they pick eventually as well. But when we go back to the house, we're going to see this conversation between Nani and Turbo. These, again, former partners. They were so close. Now, Turbo called Nani a sister at one point in their previous time spent together. But where we are here is not in that same universe. It's not in that same solar system. I don't know what has happened here, but I think I want to let you kind of lead us off here, because my simple way to put how I felt about all of this is just Turbo or not Turbo, and this is like a very broad brush that I'm kind of painting over this. Is just I know you're going to agree with me on this part too. I'm not saying you don't. I just don't like seeing a man talk to a woman like this ever, especially on one of these shows. It just had nothing to do. Like there was no reason for him to come down so hard on her like this when all she was trying to do was go to him in a friendly manner and speak. So that was like my main reason of why I was just so over Turbo here. It was so disrespectful. It was
So,
so rude.
especially at the beginning, I don't think Turbo went in. I think Turbo very much said, like, basically, here, I'm going to start in a different manner. My question is, if Turbo says, Nani, I don't want to go in, don't send me in, do they still send him in?
That's all she was asking, though. Like, all she
But okay,
wanted
but
to.
that's my question, because I think the answer is yes. I think they do. And he basically says, like, look, if I had won, it wouldn't even be a question. I would never say and come to throw you in. It would never be a question. You wouldn't have to ask me. I wouldn't have to ask you if you did want to go in. I'm never throwing you in. And so
No,
he's turning the
so.
question back. And then he says basically that if he wants to go in, I would come to you and ask you to throw me in. And she immediately responds with, like, no, that's not how this works. I have the power, and starts raising her voice at this moment. He's not raised his voice yet. And so that's where I'm like, she immediately starts like pulling power dynamics in this game where she's way more powerful, way more connected. And yes, not Turbo is a man who I agree has like definite anger problems at points. But during this conversation, I don't think he escalates it here. I think Nani very much does like it's really difficult when she's like, you're the bad communicator. And it's like, I don't think at that point, like he said, like, I'm done with the conversation. I'm choosing not to have it at this point. And she's insisting on having it.
It doesn't need to be raised voices for somebody to be being disrespected, though. It's like the way that he was talking to her and shutting her down and not looking to engage in any part of this when, and the part where I'm, siding with Nani even more is just like I'm putting myself in her shoes. If I'm coming to you as a friend to have this conversation, I don't want to hear, I don't want to have this conversation. Like your life in this game, your game here is in a lot of jeopardy. It's not just myself and Bananas. Like everybody in the house wants you gone. And if you can give me even the slightest reason for me to be able to go back to Johnny and defend you and say, look, I know Turbo's a problem for a lot of people right now, probably even us. Him and I still have something that we can reconcile and hold on to. And they're not like Turbo's not going to come for us. I don't know that Turbo was ever going to make that promise, but even for him to at least just get the words out and say, no, Nani, I don't want to go in. I don't totally agree if you do feel this way, that would mean that she would still put him in anyway. I think that there is the door is open that she potentially would have taken that information and said, okay, so if there's a world where it makes more sense for us to break up the Johnny and Jay, the Johnny and Raven, Jay and Michelle, and Olivia and Horatio alliance, if it makes more sense for us to go after that instead and hold on to Turbo for probably the next time where somebody else will take him out, I think that that's something we can do. But again, this is with Nani, just going to him as the way that they used to be friends, and Turbo, like, I fully get what Turbo's probably thinking in this moment. Like, well, if you're coming to me about this anyway, you're probably already throwing me in. It doesn't matter what I say. I get that. But you need to have the conversation if you want to, you know, A, be respectful to your friend, somebody that you spent a lot of time with and had a friendship with and called a sister, and B, just want to play the game and do, you know, whatever. This is why I don't think Turbo's ever going to succeed in a challenge ever again. You know, I mean, I think that's obvious at this point because of the way that he is socially with everybody in the house, not just, you know, the one person who he could have had as a friend. But, he was a different person last time, or he just hid himself better as Nani played the entire social game for him, as she mentioned she did. It was just hard to watch. I don't know if even, like, maybe the emotional side of me clinging on to feeling the empathy with Nani here was making me even more resentful for Turbo, because every time that she would, you know, fight back a little bit and say, no, like, stop walking away, we're talking, we're having this conversation as, you know, again, as a former friend of yours or as a current friend of yours, whatever the situation, whatever you want to call it, don't walk away from me, don't do that, that's fucked up, that's rude, and I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's right. Then that's the thing. But I don't see him, like, raising his voice at the start, especially. I don't even think we get him really raising his voice in this scene. Sure, in the deliberation. But in this scene, it's like Nani, like, when he's talking, she, like, turns her head to Laurel and is, like, yelling. Like, he is so bad at communicating. And it's like, yeah, I get it. He's not the best communicator in general. English is also not his first language. There are going to be miscommunications. So when she says something like, do you want to go in? Like, I don't blame him for then thinking, like, there's no, obviously we're going in. Like, there's no way of, like, getting around this. So it's just, like, feels disrespectful. I'm not saying that he is right. I'm not saying that there are not other times that are, like, off screen where he was disrespectful, and even on screen where he is disrespectful. But I don't think this is like Turbo is some uncontrollable hothead who is thrown into this challenge and is just, like, unmanageable and dangerous. And I feel like that's the way that a lot of people have been starting to feel and portraying Turbo. And I don't think that that is an accurate representation.
Certainly not. And I could never sit here and say, you know, MTV is wrong for putting Turbo back in the house. He's dangerous to somebody, you know, being in there. Like, absolutely not. That's, you know, nothing we have seen, you know, despite, you know, him getting into a physical altercation, I guess, in the last season that got him kicked off the show. Like, you know, how many of these people have gotten into a fight, like, you know, throughout their challenge career? Like, that's, the show is high pressure. Like, people get heated and blah, blah, blah from there. But it's just the way that he is having these conversations with Nani that just is not something I want to see, want to be around, and certainly not going to be standing probably anytime soon ever again, for me. So that's just where I'm at. That's, you know, whatever I had tweeted was just, I'm done with him. I don't need any more of him. I did enjoy our time with him back in his first season where he got the win. It was great to be in Turbo Nation at that time. But what we've seen in his second season and this season, and I get that a lot of it, I think, is being, you know, egged on from other people in the house that, again, know that they can get him to this point. But I don't know if at the end of the day, this is the challenge setting that he needs to, like, I'm so not trying to say, like, he needs to take it because he's in a challenge house and this is what people are going to do. Like, that's not the right answer. But he hasn't shown any kind of, like, social game where him and Johnny Bananas can have a conversation and be like, oh, like, we're fine or whatever. Like, I don't know, maybe you do have to take that one joke of Bananas making a stupid comment and then, like, let him say that, like get that out of the way and then, like, go forward from there. If it becomes a consistent, I don't know. It doesn't even feel 100% right coming out of my mouth, but I just, good.
It's just for me where it's like when I'm listening to the Bananas podcast today, and these are the jokes that they're not editing out. He's still making fun of people's appearances constantly. He's still making, like, shots at women on his show. He's still making whatever other shots. So, like, it doesn't surprise me that there's animosity from people towards him, towards whatever. I don't believe that he's just not throwing these jabs at Turbo and probably at Tamara, whoever else in the house. And so when he then gets mad, I don't believe Bananas is innocent. And wow, I can't believe you're getting angry about this. Like, we're watching watching a show that has bananas, that has Jordan entering this episode, that has Laurel, who's like, Turbo uses intimidation tactics, like Laurel, who has been one of the most negative people on the history of this show. Like, that's, and like, so it's like, I cannot deal with people like on this high horse who have been historically some of the most toxic people in the history of this show, then going ahead and being like, oh, I can't believe that he's angry. It's like, I've seen all of you show your ass on a consistent basis, season after season. And so, yes, I agree. Turbo is like probably not meant for the show, and I don't really need him after this season. And like, that's fine. I don't think that he's probably going to be like the best social player that's ever playing this game. No, I probably don't think that the challenge is the right fit for Turbo moving forward. But like, this is the challenge that we're watching, and let's remember every single other person on the show who has been just as angry, if not more angry, multiple times throughout the history, and yet people still stand with like great fervor for all of these people. And then it's like, wow, Turbo was mad once. Like, okay, that's going to frustrate me.
I mean, talking about Johnny right there, to bring it back to something we saw earlier in the episode, the bananas and Devin, you know, like coming back together and being happy to see each other in a challenge house, you know, with one of the most like one of the biggest blowups in challenge history between those two over some real life shit, like the nastiness and the evil that conversation brought out, and the way that like played out, and the fact that, you know, they were able to and I'm not like, I don't want to like commend, because like that was all gross and weird and not fun, but the fact that like they've ended up here at this point like shows you that they're that the challenge environment maybe can be for them, because they found a way to either talk through it or get over it or whatever, and they're happy to see each other here. You're never going to get that with Turbo. I don't know if it's on other people because they're never going to give him a chance, or on him because he doesn't have the ability to like let that, you know, next gear shift into gear or whatever, and then kind of try to mend the fence there with whoever the person is, whether it's Jordan or Bananas or whoever it is. You know, he's never going to get to that point with other challengers that don't want to see him around, or that he doesn't have a love or respect for or whatever. So this probably isn't the place that he needs to be. You know, whatever. I'm sure he will, you know, continue making plenty of money off on the movie action sets that he's, you know, doing. It sounds like he's still got that going. He did the whole jump flip off the in the main, you know, daily challenge or whatever. So I don't know. God,
the thing is,
I'm rambling
like,
so much.
Sure. Again, in terms of being like a good player on the challenge, and Johnny and Banana, and with Bananas and Devin like getting over their feud, sure, that's like a good thing in the history of the challenge. Like, in order to like wipe their feuds under the rug and go ahead and move forward. But like, a lot of these people are going to like, I'm willing to be this friends with this person who has been wildly disrespectful to me, my family, or like racist, misogynistic, homophobic, transphobic, like fatphobic, whatever the case may be. They're like, oh yeah, but like, I want to win a game, and so I'm going to work with them. And so like, sure, that is good for your game moving forward, but that's not someone I'm going to like. And so where Turbo has not done those things, to my knowledge, then no, that's not where you can give me Turbo being like overtly problematic in terms of what he says, what he does, who he supports, then like, I'll be more willing to listen. But no, a lot of these people are grossly problematic and continue to be so. So I don't take their opinion, you know, with a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm. I do feel like this has got to be the last time we see Turbo. I don't think he's like, I think there was probably a lot of desire for him to come back and see what happens after, you know, last time and give it another shot. I'm sure producers had been, you know, reaching out to him since then, maybe not the following season, but, you know, probably since then. And, you know, he was willing to come back here. I just don't know why he would say yes again. I don't know what he's getting out of this that's benefiting him in any way besides, I guess, a paycheck. Just to kind of all bring it all together, we're going to see during the deliberation that, you know, he, again, just doesn't really want to have the conversation with Bananas and Nani. They, she starts to try to talk to him and he immediately gets up. I don't know if you have any thoughts here about Tamara, his partner. She, you know, was trying, she was doing the best that she could given the circumstances, giving the partner, like, she can't just go trade in a new partner at the partner store. There's no partner store. It's not a thing. So she can't just get rid of Turbo. She's trying to talk to Nani in a way of being like, oh, he's just, you know, nothing you can say to Mara in this moment, unfortunately, is going to help your cause or Turbo's cause. And, you know, I didn't love the way, you know, it would have been so nice if she just sat there and continued to talk to Bananas and Nani. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. What am I going to do with either one of these two at this point?
Yeah. So that was Turbo definitely lost me more in this like deliberation, the like standing up and walking out. Yeah, he definitely like raised his voice more here. Again, I don't think he was the first person to. But what bothered me more so was when it was like, Tamara, let's go. Like, you don't get a say in this. Like, you come with me. And that was what I think it was on the surface, where she then says in her confessional, like, I don't feel voiceless. We made an agreement on how we were going to handle the deliberation before we came in. And so that was basically Turbo being like, we talked about this. Like, what's going on? And so I'm going to then take her word for it in this situation. If we had gotten to see them more and it became a pattern, then I would have eyed it more critically. But that is where I'm currently at with that.
Yeah, and we can even, you know, just kind of keep this all together here and kind of close out the Turbo of it all, because he's going to end up going into elimination. We'll backtrack in a little bit to go to how we got there, but he is going to be the one that gets selected to go in by Bananas and Nani. They, you know, Nani doesn't really mince words when she's saying who's going in, and Laurel even made a comment of how, like, sure of herself Nani was in that moment, and we're going to see in the elimination that it's going to be the two of them, Turbo and Tamara versus Olivia and Horatio, that everybody that is involved in the game, maybe we'll talk about this later, is helping out the other team. They have no interest in seeing Turbo back. So Turbo is going to go home here. You know, he gives a lot of confessional, being like, you know, me versus every other challenger here, that's how it's got to be. That's that's how I'm fine with it. Let's, you know, let's do it. Otherwise, it's not fair for everybody else. This is his first ever elimination. You know, if he doesn't come back, probably possibly his last ever elimination. So if the book here is closed on Turbo, what's the story?
I mean, it doesn't end well. Great. I think that they probably do call him back, which I don't think is super necessary. I think this is probably where we can close the book. I don't think that he is a good fit for the show, and I think that's pretty obvious. I still think that it is not like an exclusively him problem. I think it's a lot of the people in the house and the environment that they're in, but I just don't think that he's realistically going to start fitting in the next couple of years by any means. So I think that this probably should be where the relationship with the show ends. We can talk more about the elimination later, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, even when he leaves, though, where he's like, yeah, so I'm leaving, but I'm rooting for Bananas and Nani. It's like, okay,
I don't think he said that.
No, he did. And especially in the extended cut on MTV, he basically says, like, I still hope Nani gets her win. Like, Bananas, I think, like, he's, like, gross, basically. But, like, I respect him. And, like, I hope that Bananas and Nani win the season.
That's what he said. Are you sure?
Yep, 100%.
I mean, I'll trust you. But my notes, if this was a solo podcast, I would have been telling everybody that he said, I don't want them to win, because that's what I thought I heard.
I'm pretty confident that it's, like, I want them to win. I hope Nani goes on to get her win. He said it because I watched it like in the real time, then on the rewatch, and then they had like the final words, and he said it again there.
Interesting. Well, that's more surprising.
My brain would have to be doing some real protecting, but I'm like pretty sure.
Maybe we got different edits. Maybe you got the you know, Turbo favorable edit, and I got the much more villainous one. I think that's a good explanation.
Who knows?
So yeah, that's what's happening there. So let's swing back around, because you know, on the topic of who we do and should be, you know, continuing to stand forevermore, if it's not going to be Turbo, it's going to be Michelle Fitzgerald. that's how I feel about things. So we're going to see, even at the beginning of the episode, Jay and Michelle get the first two confessionals with Bananas and Nani back into the game. Jay talking about how he's not very happy to see Johnny, because he's one of the, you know, most well placing challengers and respected and liked challengers. And Michelle is talking about Nani because they just got so close since the last time that they played on last season, and they seem to have a good relationship. So what's going to happen here is that during the deliberation, again, this new grouping of Jay and Michelle, Johnny and Raven, Olivia and Horatio seems to be, you know, people are aware of them in the house. Those three teams are going to be the ones that Nani and Johnny call into the deliberation to kind of say, well, if we know that Turbo is going to be the one that we're pulling that team in, let's get the other three teams to go into the draw, where one of them will have to turn on the other and pull, you know, like, it'll break things up a little bit. And as, you know, a veteran move as it is for Johnny and Nani to make that decision, it does work, because we're going to see throughout the episode that there is doubt planted between some of, you know, so Jay and Michelle specifically talking about which side should we go with? What should we do? Should we hold on to Johnny and Raven, or should we not? What do we do about it? So, you know, it really did kind of have the intended effect as far as we could tell from the edit of the episode. But the bigger, you know, the big story of it all is just Michelle and how she was, you know, going about all of this with Nani in the deliberation. You know, I don't know. Was it a performance? Was it not? Was it genuine emotion? I think it was genuine emotion mixed with knowing that this could, you know, tap into Nani's emotional side. So dive right in wherever you want to dive in with all of this.
Okay. So as far as them like getting the opening confessionals and stuff, like Survivor, especially like historically, was a show that always casted like four confessionalists, I would say, more so than almost any other show. So it's not surprising. And I think they probably should be looking deeper into the casting pool. And I think you probably actually saw this in confessional counts on Challenge USA, even where like people from Survivor are really good confessionalists in general, especially the ones that got enough airtime to be considered for the challenge. So it's not surprising to me that they have like made a name for themselves here. As far as Jay and Michelle's like how they're maneuvering in the game, they like blatantly did say that like Michelle's going to handle the vets and Jay's going to handle the rookies. So it's not surprising then when it comes time to make a decision that they're going to have different perspectives on what they should do, because they have different relationships with very different people here. So I don't disagree with Bananas and Nani's decision to throw in these three pairs specifically. It wasn't ideal where it was like Nani was like, this is what I want to do, and it is like, and here's why. And Bananas is like, we're not doing any of that. We're doing exactly what I say. And Nani says, okay. From the edit perspective, not my favorite. But I don't think that's probably like exactly how it went down. I do think that like, Michelle is acting on real emotion. I'm wondering if she's heightening it just a bit. I think that's probably the case, especially like when they have their conversation on their night out. I feel like Michelle goes very quickly from like, you're my sister and I like can't believe you did this to me, to like, yes, like Nani, like I'm always here for you. Like, okay. And like I understand that the tone of that conversation did change very drastically, but I think that Michelle doesn't have a ton of people in this house. Yeah, she's been on one season before, but she had issues with Tori and a few other people that were here. I don't think that she probably is close with a number of vets. So for Nani to really be the only person there, I think she has to play that relationship hard.
Yes, there's a lot here, which I never would have expected, like, you know, 20 minutes before right? the episode started, about like, oh, Nani and Michelle are the, you know, relationship highlighted here in this episode. I knew a lot of the veterans had enjoyed Michelle as a personality, you know, maybe not everybody. I don't know if Tori was the biggest fan, but that's a different reason why and different story. But yeah, just the way that, you know, okay, so at this point, it's like, okay, we're hearing that they were close and they have a connection, so let's go with it. When Michelle and Jay are sitting across the table from Johnny and Nani, Nani's looking at her like not hearing a word
she's stone faced. There's no emotion.
Faced. There is nothing, not a single, like nothing, you know, on
Michelle Nani's. Is crying her eyes out, hysterical over the fact that like Nani could betray her in this way. And Nani has not a single emotion ever in her life at this moment.
Do you understand like the roller coaster? Do the general you understand like the roller coaster of emotion that I went through from like, you know, a couple minutes ago or whatever? Yeah. Of like Turbo and Tamara being in there and me being like, you know, I want to give a big hug to Nani on one side of the table as Turbo is, you know, turboing with her, you know, with Nani, and then Michelle is in the room and I just want to like get far away from Nani and go give Michelle the biggest hug and make sure she's okay and be like, Nani, you evil person, like how could you do this and hurt my Michelle. So I was very upset for her, but then also, you know, Jay having that moment to like kind of bring the clarity back of like, is this how she wants to, like, she's good. So yeah, definitely, you know, like acting into the emotion that came there. So all that plus the night out. Yeah. I mean, who hasn't had this kind of conversation, whether it was you as Nani or you were talking to Nani, where like you're having a conversation and you're maybe upset about something or whatever. And, you know, when real life kind of comes back into the conversation and you don't really think about it, because I mean, we can get even deeper with all of this, but you know, we're all going through shit. Shit pops up for anybody at any given time. And you never know why, you know, somebody, you know, could have like something under the surface of like, you know, just like you start arguing about, you know, they're talking about the game here and about their relationship. And Nani, you know, is bringing back, you know, okay, there's more going on for me than just the game right now. And I, you know, her emotion comes, you know, flooding out in that moment of just, you know, this isn't just about me. This isn't just about whatever. I'm doing this for a bigger purpose. I want to make my mom proud. I want to, you know, play a really good game this time. And you know, I'm so sorry, you know, Michelle, I did consider your feelings. I did consider you, but this is just the move that I had to make in this moment and whatever. And Michelle, you know, I do think it was, again, a social game for sure, but real genuinity here of, you know, giving Nani this big hug and being like, no, like you are, you know, fully in your right to play the game and, you know, make your mom proud and do your thing. And that's, you know, so I don't know, they have a good relationship. I'm glad that by the end of this, you know, they're in a good place still. Both of them are just, you know, Michelle very emotional for just the blind side of it all. Nani very emotional for, you know, a variety of reasons. And just the fact that the two of them, you know, again, were able to come together. I was happy with the end result, and the fact that Michelle doesn't go home, of course, that's great.
Yeah. The thing for me is it's great to hear like, no, I do care about you and I really did consider you, but that wasn't enough and I'm still going to throw you in. Like, I'm glad you care about me, but like, okay, shake hands, game on. Like, I'm throwing you in back. So maybe had like Johnny gone home this episode, it's like, oh, well, their relationships are cut between Jay and Johnny, and now like Nani and Michelle are clear to work together. But I don't think that's the case. I think as long as Michelle and Jay are together, Bananas is always going to want to throw in Jay. I think that Jay is just, they seem to, at least allegedly, like publicly facing like, oh, there's no bad blood, considering that they both dated the same person. But I just feel like whether it is because of that or it is because Jay is working with the rookies, I think Bananas is never really going to get over it. Nani apparently is not going to put her foot down on not throwing in Michelle. So if Michelle wins, I don't think she should hesitate in throwing in Nani and Bananas.
Yeah, I mean, Michelle, as much as I can praise her social game, I need to, you know, make sure that her strategy game is up to snuff here. As look at the team of Bananas and Nani and know for a fact that no matter how much you and Nani like each other, you will never be a priority to them. Mm-hmm. Look around at everybody else in the house. You will never be a priority to them unless every other veteran team disappeared tomorrow, which is possible given the way that this game has been fluctuating. If it was just, you know, you two and Bananas and Nani and a bunch of rookies, you would probably become then their number ones. But at this moment in time, that's not the case. Yeah, Jay and Bananas are never going to be some kind of duo. They're never going to come together Devin and Banana style like they seem to be, you know, so far. Jay is not ever going to say, Bananas, you just, I'll follow your lead. Like, let's do this together. Like, it's not believable. They just don't have a good connection. And so that's certainly something that's always going to be in play. And again, I just hope Michelle does see that. I don't know, you know, I don't know, are Jay and Michelle going to be a team that can find power and, you know, now use these three, you know, this threesome that they still have in the house of teams? Can they find a way to bring it back together? Did Johnny successfully, you know, break this trio up because now they're all kind of looking at each other kind of funny, having to have made a decision? You know, they're talking a little bit later in the episode about, are they striking a deal? Johnny of Johnny and Raven and Olivia, are they making some kind of deal to save each other? It ends up being Jay and Michelle that did pull the safe sword, and they were the ones who then make the decision. But I don't know, maybe there was some kind of deal going on, and Jay and Michelle would have gone into elimination if either of the other two teams won. Did you have a thought or opinion on that at all?
I think the only way that the relationships get strained here is if Johnny and Raven picked the safe dagger and had to make a decision. So I know Johnny talked about how him and Jay were actually like working out together pre-show, and they would be going to the gym all the time, and they're friends. And some people in the house knew that. Some others had no idea, even until the point that they were on the podcast. But I think that they are pretty good friends. And I think that Johnny and Olivia, both coming from Love Island, have decided to work together, as we saw on the episode. So I think that's probably where Johnny would have had to show a little bit more of his allegiances. But I think that Jay saving Johnny, I don't think that Olivia is going to be like, how dare you, or Horacio. Mm-hmm. So I think that like this trio is fine. I think that they should definitely be still focusing on the vets, especially like if, let's say, Jay and Michelle were to win next week. Like, if you're not going to target Nani, like, you got to take out all our allies. So I think that they should be just fine to move forward. And even if they're not like publicly trying to be like buddy buddy and painting that target on themselves as an alliance, they should never be actually like throwing each other in or throwing each other under the bus.
I loved Michelle's confessionals, talking about Jay a couple different times throughout the episode. talking about Jay like he's like some kind of dog that she needs to like train and keep on his leash and make sure he's a good boy who just sits there and does what she says, because that's Michelle confessional gold. She said something else later on, just when it came down to like any kind of decision making, she just needed to make sure that she was in the driver's seat. She kind of backs down on that a little bit later on, being like, but I do still trust him, and you know, he's the one who kind of pushes even harder for Johnny and Raven to be the one that they save when it comes time to make the pick of the draw, and she seems fine with that. But I do think that, you know, just to quickly cut ahead to that, I don't think that that was a bad decision. I think what Jay's logic there makes sense about, you know, we don't want to look untrustworthy and look like a backstabber to the team that everybody knows that we're the closest to already, so let's just leave it at that and save the, you know, reassure that we have our number one allies coming back into the game. So I don't know why Michelle would have argued against that, and yeah, just that's that.
Yeah, I think that, and Michelle even actually like apologized for some of those confessionals. I don't think Jay loved them as much as you may have. So, but I agree. I think that, like, what Jay and Michelle save Olivia and Horacio instead, and then Bananas is like, okay, never mind, I won't target you anymore. Like, no, he's still coming after you. So, like, what's the difference? Go ahead and save your actual ally, especially if it is. Like, oh, Johnny actually goes home. Like, that's so much worse for your game than being exposed as aligned to him, because he's going to continue being a target as well. So that's one person in front of you, probably. I feel like explicitly the correct decision. And I think maybe Michelle had some relationship with like Turbo and Tamara, and like that's where the question would have come in, if it was them choosing between like Johnny and Turbo, like maybe. But I don't know that that's the case either.
Right. I'm trying to see if anything else. I mean, we're kind of going over a couple different things from the deliberation, from the night out. What else do you want to hit on before the elimination?
I mean, we have Horacio and Laurel, but I don't think there's a whole lot there.
No, I think there could be more there as we get into the next couple of weeks. It's like the Nelson and Norris. They're teasing a lot of it, but like maybe there's more.
In Nelson and Olivia.
Yep, that's what I meant.
Yeah, so I do think that it's like something's probably going to come of it, but I'm not like, I don't know. We'll see. I'm a little indifferent.
Horacio is the cutest little pumpkin.
Aww.
I'm a big fan. So that's that. The elimination is called Memory Lane, and as we kind of touched on earlier, it's a big, you know, the more friends you have in the crowd, the more help you're going to get. When you're a team that has zero friends in the crowd, you get zero help, and this elimination win is going to count in the win columns for Olivia and Horacio, but you might as well just put one in the column of everybody else that was up on that platform that was helping out. I mean, Laurel was about to like push Colleen down to the floor to make sure that she could like, you know, see the board and yell all the answers down to her new friend. She literally had her arm like pushed down on her. I was like, how is Colleen not turning around and being like, bitch, get off me?
Yeah, I would not trust like the challenge production sets to hold up under pressure of all the immense leaning on it.
It was something. But this elimination is just a standard memory game, you know, flip over the tiles and make all the matches, first one to make all the matches wins, and yeah, so that's what we have going on here.
So stupid. I mean, we've talked endlessly about how it's like really boring and it's unfair when like every person like up on the ledge is just able to help during a memory challenge or a math challenge or a puzzle or whatever strategy, whatever other type of game. Like, I do think it's unfair, but more than that, even I think it's incredibly boring. As soon as like people start helping, it's in this like week, you could turn off the episode. There's no reason to watch the rest of it. I think it's boring. I think that it completely invalidates whatever challenge is going on. I think Turbo and Tamara probably do win, it seems, if there was no helping in this challenge. And I know that you want people like screaming and yelling, but I think that it is unwatchable when it is just like the entire cast solving a puzzle. Like, I don't want to watch that.
And also, when you're like results oriented, like hoping for a certain result to happen, when you see that result kind of happening out in front of you, then you're fine to continue watching. Was my experience with it because I saw that I have like no investment in Horatio and Olivia, despite him being on my team. But I was just very hopeful that this would be the end of the Turbo story here, because where else were we going to go with it? So seeing that it was very likely leaning in that favor, I'm all in the favor of fairness, but if my favorites go further, in any way, shape, or form, then that's where I land. Which is why they don't pay me any kind of big money to talk about these shows. This is why I just exist here and hope that the podcast makes it up into the feed.
Yeah, even if it's like benefiting my favorite, I find it incredibly boring. Like, sure, my favorite makes it on one more week, but I think that in general, like, that's going to even out in the long run. And like, why am I watching this when it's 20 minutes of the episode and it's completely predetermined? You're sending me to commercial on a cliffhanger. Like, there's no cliffhanger. There never has been from the moment that I started getting help. I think it's boring. I think that it's a big problem on the challenge that they seem to refuse to fix, and it seems pretty fixable. So I don't know why they don't get that under control.
Well, shout out to Olivia, who brought down the it player of the challenge, because she did that. Horatio too, like the both of the, they did that. They brought down the it player of the challenge. Just them, no help from no, but that confessional was like
Yeah.
girl, we saw it. We saw what happened. Like
Big Nerys, we built the challenge
it
energy.
literally, like take all that credit, put it back in the bowl, and pass out a piece of candy to everybody else up top, because you're splitting that one up a little bit more than you want to. So
Yeah,
that's
I'm
go ahead.
putting 0-0 on all four of these players' records, as far as I'm concerned. Like, none of
Yikes.
them have been into an elimination.
I don't know. I'll give Turbo the loss. But other than that, we're gonna see. Once we have, one team departed, the other team has rejoined. Everybody else up top. We're going to get to our final twist of the episode, where we take somebody who, probably again still does not need to be competing on challenges because they are, very questionable in the challenge history, Hall of Fame, whatever. And we're just going to bring them back onto the show and hype them up as one of the most impressive competitors that we've ever seen, because who cares anymore? And that's where Jordan wisely re-enters the picture and is back on the show without his partner, who we know is Anissa. What the heck is going on here?
It's so embarrassing. Like, if I'm Anissa, I'm pissed. So I'm wondering, is there a world in which Anissa's like still positive and they're like, get out there, like, and go without
No.
her?
No.
I don't think that's the case. I think that they.
I know it's not the case, actually. I'll cut you off because I saw there was a clip of them like on Instagram of like the two of them riding in the car together to the next challenge. Like, so they were both like traveling there together, and I think the only answer for what is happening here is that they introduce Jordan here, and then at the top of the next episode they're gonna say, and his
Oh.
partner, Anissa's back.
For sure. I think that was, 99% of
Yeah, I
the
mean
likely
that's
outcomes.
what's happening, but it's just like,
Yeah.
but why?
Because I think that they know this partnership makes no sense, and if they brought them out here, the general public would be like, even people who don't know what's going on outside of the show, who don't like remember every detail of every season, it's like, and then the ride or dies of Jordan and Anissa, and it's like, we need more than 3 minutes to explain this one and try to justify it, because this is gonna take a little bit. I think Darrell and Veronica come out together. I think Jordan, you get the surprise with Tori, you get like the shock faces that you're hoping for. Whereas if it's like just Anissa, like people are like, yay. So I think that they need more than 3 minutes to. More than the 30 seconds they really get, but a lot longer than 3 minutes to explain why the hell these two people are together.
Yeah, and it's not like they knew like the edit of the episode or whatever beforehand, but I can see, the story producers being on set being like, okay, look, like, let's make this about Jordan and Tori. Let's get, we know how this episode's gonna end. Tori's shocked, Jordan's here. They know that they can get, into the episode that Tori, was just get some kind of something of her talking about him and them or whatever. And that's what happened, and now, so that kind of closes out the Tori of it all from the beginning of the episode. And next week we'll get into it a lot more. We'll bring Anissa back into the picture, Tori's best friend, and we'll see how it all plays out with the two of them there. And it's, what are we, what analysis do we need here to be like, oh, Anissa's back in the game? Like, okay, cool. Or here in the first place, because she totally wasn't there at the beginning. I don't know. So that's where we're at. Tori is, you know, looking pretty shaken up. She says she hasn't seen him since they broke up. I have no reason to believe that's not the case. And they're about to reunite on this big platform in this high stress environment. What could go wrong?
Yeah. I don't know. Just like, great. More stress for me. But I don't know. I didn't need the bets to gain another number. I'm very nervous about this season at this point, but still curious to see how it plays out.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see how it plays out as well, because, like, the concern that you're having about, you know, so what if the vets just take over here is certainly valid. And it also just makes me, like, curious of, like who's going to win? I mean, I know we're so far away from that, but looking at the teams, it's just, there's a lot of interesting dynamics, because I feel like the top two contenders that you might think would win would be Anissa and Nani getting their first ever challenge win.
Yeah.
So I can't stop thinking about that.
I mean, I'm still not, like, excited about that prospect.
I didn't say that you were, or that anybody really could be or should be. But just the fact that, you know, these are the two teams being brought in as, like, you know, the teams, and Darrell and Veronica are coming too. No disrespect there, but, like, I don't think we're looking at that team being the winner. But it would just be insane if, like, we're, like, looking down, you know, the runway to victory for one of these two women getting their first win after so many tries.
Yeah, would be wild. Very, very wild to add really either one of them at this point. I just feel like a lot of people have kind of given up on those hopes. So curious to see if they can pull it out.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not, like, you know, about to sit here and reward, like, half of the share or more than half the share to them. I'm looking at, you know, the list of people that are still here. I still think Casey and Kenny are probably the top contender of combined overall, you know, whatever. Amber and Chauncey, if I wish they, you know, were getting more screen time and whatever, but it's only been two episodes, so there's still plenty of time to go. And I don't know, there's, you know, plenty of other pairings that could make it happen here, but just those being our main characters here after 2 weeks, or 3 weeks when Jordan and Anissa join the game. So we'll see how all that plays out next time. But for now, anything else?
No, I'm ready to close this one out. Close the book on Turbo, I expect.
The Wikipedia page for this season, which is what I'm looking at to see the teams right now, just to refresh myself, is the there's a chart on here for the teams that looks like the most useless chart I've ever seen ever. The left column says team, and it says, like, Annalise, I don't know why I just skipped that. Amber and Chauncey, Annalise and Tommy, Anissa and Jordan. Are you looking at it?
Wow, look at you rushing to talk about Annalise again.
That's, you know, your influence is just infiltrating me. I just.
Oh, that's it.
So that's the left column.
It's right. It's a chart that shows team, male partner, female partner, right under a list of the male contestants and female contestants matched up by team anyway.
Yes. So what are we learning from the second chart?
Maybe if in case, does this mean a, like, some alternate is going to have to fill in for one of these teammates eventually? They'll get added to the list.
Like on Dancing with the Stars. I mean, no, you're not a Dancing with the
Stars.
Yeah,
that's exactly like what I mean. It's just like Dancing with the Stars.
Like, Daniela was sick, had COVID for 2 weeks, so a different partner had to jump in, and is that what we're doing here?
Well, I'm glad we're both thinking of the same exact example.
I know. That's what we get from podcasting for a couple years together now. So enough about Dancing with the Stars and Annalise and anybody else here. Let's get out of here because we are well over an hour, which is not where I usually find myself, and I'm getting anxious sweats. So I am on Twitter at Matt Liguori, and don't really have much else to plug right now. You are on Twitter at Brian_Scally, and do you have anything to plug?
Well, I'm on Twitter, obviously, but then I think I'm going to be on 90 Day Fiancé this week, the podcast over on RHAP. I think that's happening. We're deciding still. So check that out if that's the case over on the RHAP wrap-ups. And then I think I'm jumping on a stream on Tuesday. I'll retweet it if that's the case. Playing some Squid Game-like games. So I will keep an eye on Twitter for anything I'm doing.
Are you going to be here next week to podcast, or Squid Game, like, going to take you?
We'll see. We can only hope.
that's worrying. But okay, maybe if you're not, then Anissa will jump in and be my partner because that's just how things go. Devon and Devin are not on the Challenge podcast anymore, and I feel like I'm being lied to because I thought that they were saying all four of us are here going forward, and now they're not there.
I thought that that was only for the like look back on the history of the challenge thing, but I also didn't listen to all of those, so I couldn't tell you if like they promised them being here or not.
That's what I mean. I did listen to all of them, and that's why I thought that they were saying that, like, it's so great all four of us are together here, and I thought that that was the case going forward, but it doesn't seem to be the case because the picture is back to just being Torgan and Issa. And Devon and Devin are not on last week's or this week's podcast, so they seem to not be in the picture at the moment. I don't know.
Maybe I'll come back for,
I don't know. Yeah. So I'm upset about that as well. And anything else that I'm upset about, we will cover next week. So in the meantime, sorry this one came out a couple days late, but hopefully it's still timely for you in your feeds. And thank you guys for checking this one out. And we'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye.